Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anyone.
But you've possibly found the best kept secret in business. He's handsome.
Handsome.
He's loud.
Loud.
He's got some tattoos.
Tattoos.
He'll tell you as it is. And only wears a suit at a wedding or a funeral. No jargon. No overcomplicated 300-stage program. Just upfront, honest, proven ideas, thoughts, and strategies.
That actually work.
So here's your host, the best-kept business secret probably anywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Mark Ford.
Welcome to the Best Kept Business Secret podcast with me, your host, Mark Ford. Possibly the best kept business secret anywhere. Hope you are well. Now then, are you guilty of being a marketing manipulator? Are you guilty of manipulating your customers and your clients into buying your stuff? And do you realize how much of a problem that could be causing your business? In fact, do you realize how much of a drug for you that's becoming? By the end of this podcast, I'm going to challenge you to go cold turkey. But right now, if you're enjoying this podcast, I would love you to go and give us some love on iTunes, give us a review, or go and find out about some more free stuff that can entertain you and inform you on my website, which is www.markford.uk. And let's get stuck into the podcast after this message from our sponsor.
This podcast is sponsored by JB Commercial Finance, the trusted funding solutions for business. JB Commercial Finance are experienced whole-of-market commercial finance brokers and will help you and your business raise money no matter your circumstances. Whether you're investing in your business, have cash flow challenges, or you're looking to acquire commercial premises, get in touch with us now for independent, expert, and honest advice. For a free, no-obligation assessment, find us at www.jbcommercialfinance.co.uk or call 0116-3440-322. JB Commercial Finance is fully authorized and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority and are proud members of the National Association of Commercial Finance Brokers.
Okay, so what am I exactly talking about? Well, it's like a drug. It's like a drug that most business owners and marketers get hooked on. Their craving just grows and grows until their net fix. There is a big difference between repeat business and loyalty. You see, repeat business is where people do business with you multiple times. Loyalty is when people are willing to turn down a better product or a better price to continue doing business with you. Loyal customers often don't even bother to research the competition or entertain any other option, and loyalty is not easily won. Repeat business, however, is, and all it takes are more marketing manipulations. Manipulative techniques have become such a mainstay in business as of today, and there is virtually impossible for some businesses to kick the habit. It's like any other addiction. The drive is not to get sober, but to find the next fix faster and more frequently. And as good as the short-term highs may feel, they have a detrimental impact on the long-term health of any business. Addicted to those short-term results, business today has largely become a massive series of quick fixes added on one after another, after another, after another. Now, you may not recognize your business by what I've just said, but I'm going to go through 6 tricks that businesses use to manipulate their customers and their clients into buying their products or their services. Will you fall into those 6 tricks? And if you do, do you realize how addicted you are? So let's look at these 6 tricks. Novelty, peer pressure, aspiration, fear, promotions, and price. So let's go through these. Novelty. Now, don't confuse novelty with innovation. What features and benefits do you really offer? Let's look at the Motorola Razr. Remember that? No? Well, not surprising, really. You see, Motorola created something that was quite short-term, really. There was a kind of novelty value to the bits and pieces on that phone. But actually, it kind of went nowhere from there on in. So you should never mistake novelty for innovation. If you think about it, the light bulb, the microwave oven, the fax machine, iTunes, those are true innovations that have changed the way that we live our lives. And in case of iTunes, as a great example, it's challenged an industry to completely reevaluate its business model, i.e. the music industry. Now, adding a camera to a mobile phone is not an innovation. It's a great feature, for sure, but it's not industry-altering at all. So, after a short space of time after the Motorola Razr had come out, to be perfectly honest, it kind of went away again. It was just another mobile phone looking for the piece of the pie. Peer pressure. You see, peer pressure is an amazing thing. 8 out of 10 cats prefer it. 8 out of 10 dogs prefer this. A double blind study conducted by somebody or other concluded that it was a million times better. Over 90% of women said this makeup was absolutely fantastic. We have over a million satisfied customer reviews on whatever review site whatsoever. And then you've got celebrity endorsements and things like that. Well, you end up thinking, well, if he uses it or she uses it or the bloke down the road uses it or my mates use it, I should have it too. Peer pressure is a wonderful thing. My mum used to say, if your best mate went and stuck his head in the oven, would you do it too? I probably would have answered yes, just because I was bloody minded at the time. But if you think about it now, no, I wouldn't. So why do I need a service or why do I need a product that so-and-so's got, even though I might not need it? Now, if peer pressure doesn't force us into doing it, aspirations, our hopes and our dreams will often force us towards doing certain things. Let's be fair, gym membership goes up by about 20-odd% every January because we all want to have bodies of goddesses or Adonises and look absolutely fantastic. We all want to be that perfect person. If we play golf, a great example, if we play golf, we end up wanting to be the next Tiger Woods. So we go out and buy the same clothes that he wears. We go out and buy the same clubs that he uses. The only problem is that if we have a rubbish round, we truly do look like a bunch of numpties with a great set of golf clubs. Also, another point is the fact that they wear these expensive watch. An expensive watch. Why do we need an expensive watch? Oh, well, Tiger Woods has got an expensive watch. And if I wear an expensive watch, that means I'm going to be like Tiger Woods. I have come across people that have, in fact, got really expensive watches, but can't afford to pay the mortgage. How does that work? I often find that aspirations in my own role as a business coach often get scuppered. You see, the problem is that I will help people try and achieve or fulfill their goals and their aspirations. But it doesn't matter what the issue. 9 times out of 10, people are always drawn to the quicker, cheaper option over the long-term solution. It's just like the habitual dieter. They never have time or money to do it right the first time, but they always have the time and money to do it all over again. Fear is an amazing factor. Especially in business. You see, when somebody's asked to go and get a supplier for a particular product or service, 9 times out of 10, you'll find the person going for that product or service will end up going for a bigger name product at a higher price, as opposed to a smaller named product or service at the right price. Why? Because nobody's ever been fired for hiring somebody like Windows or Xerox. But they live in fear that they would lose their job should this smaller provider of the service or product ends up falling over. Isn't it an irony that actually in today's business world, we can't even rely on some of the biggest suppliers of products and services because we don't know their true financial state? Carillion, anyone? And if you can tell me that fear doesn't really work, all you've got to look is at its nth degree. Back in the 1980s, when AIDS and HIV came to prominence, the adverts came out saying AIDS don't die of ignorance. It scared the bejesus out of any man, woman, child on the face of the planet, to the point where it actually instilled so much fear in some people that homophobic and quite disgraceful behaviour was seen all over the world by people towards gay and lesbian members of our community. Fear is a really powerful manipulation point, but when it's used wrongly, it can instill the wrong type of fear in people. Promotions. Promotions can be great for businesses, but as we all know, with some companies, promotions actually are just becoming a bit of a running joke. As I record this, it's Easter. On my TV screen right about now, there are several furniture businesses that are running Easter-only offers, which must end on Bank Holiday Monday. The daft thing is, they think that I'm stupid, in the fact that these Easter-only offers have actually been running for 365 days of the year. These furniture places are in constant sales. Therefore, the promotion no longer exists as a promotion. They just come up with a slightly more gimmicky advert. When you're also talking about promotions, you could be talking about vouchers being redeemed or receipts being redeemed. Now, a big company will be relying on the customer or the client not to redeem those coupons or those vouchers. It's what's known as slippage. And if they are redeemed, around about 34 to 40% normally are, well, you have to kind of live with it and it's factored in. But what happens when promotions aren't upheld? If you take a look back in the 1980s, when Hoover decided to do flights to America, they were almost happy to take on the new extra business that bought in. It became a huge scandal for Hoover, as effectively people were buying tickets, airplane tickets, to America in the 1980s at around about £110. That was not sustainable, and it ended up being a massive scandal brought to a head by the Daily Mirror. So promotions can do just as much harm as they can good. And this moves us on nicely to price. Playing the low price game is basically a race to the bottom. Don't agree with me? Today, I've walked through the city centre of Leicester. I've walked past two restaurants. One has been saved in the last 3 months by financial backers. The other will be closed within weeks because their national firm has been struggling and has gone into a CVA. Both had A boards outside. Both are next to each other. The one that is going under and is being closed were advertising an offer of kids eat for a pound. The one that has been saved by financial backers, kids eat for 25 pence. What message does this send out? What message would this send out if you were that financial backer? Yes, it's bums on seats. But unless those 7-year-old bums are going to start ordering beer and wine, I would suggest that the 25 pence offer probably isn't the smartest in the world. In fact, if you keep lowering and lowering and lowering the price, it will affect your trade all year round. Don't believe me? Take a look at the last 2 years of financial results for all high street businesses that entered into the Black Friday hype. All that's happening is that Christmas sales and moreover January sales are now being moved further back. So instead of them actually happening on Boxing Day, these sales are now starting in November on Black Friday. Yes, people are putting money in the till, but for a space of 12 months, that's where you see the benefit. After those 12 months, you're going to start seeing that you're actually performing worse than you did 3 years ago. Getting a reputation for selling at low, low prices is probably not the best reputation that you need. And it really does take a strong business to take a stand and stop themselves from doing that. You see, there's barely a product or service on the market anywhere today that your customers can't buy from somebody else for about the same price, for about the same quality, at roughly the same level of service, and probably with the same features. If you truly have a first mover's advantage, it's probably lost in a matter of months. If you offer something truly novel, well, somebody else will catch up and come up with something pretty similar and maybe even better. But here's the daft thing. If you ask most businesses why their customers are their customers, most will tell you it's because of superior quality, features, price, or service. In other words, most companies have absolutely no bloody clue why their customers are their customers at all. All they've engaged in are these six areas of marketing manipulation. And the beauty of it is, yes, ladies and gentlemen, it works. I can't deny that marketing manipulation works. 100%, it has worked since the dawn of time. But how do you make yourself different? Because marketing manipulation is like a fix. It's like a drug fix. You get a hit. So say, as an example, you manipulate the price on a particular product or service, and all of a sudden you sell 50 units of this product or service. You, as a business owner, want more, so you'll do it again, and you'll do it again, and you'll do it again. But eventually, that special offer no longer becomes a special offer, and in fact you have to lower the price again, or you have to come up with something slightly different and put the fear of God into somebody, or perhaps get somebody to side with it and promote it for you, but you sell another 50 and you want to do another 50, so you end up doing something else, and you end up doing something else, and you end up possibly going bust. I'm going to leave you with a challenge. I want to challenge you to do something for your customers. You, my friend, are a business. You, my friend, are a problem solver, and you're a problem solver for a customer. So why not start with the customer? What problem can you solve that means that you can give a superior product, a superior service, and a superior end result for that customer, and yet still have a profit mentality? Profit first. A reasonable price for a reasonable day's work. A reasonable price for a reasonable product. I challenge you. For that product or service, for your ideal customer or your ideal client, to go cold turkey and not use novelty values, not use peer pressure, not use aspirations, not use fear, not use promotions, and not use ridiculous price reductions when it comes to attracting your ideal customer and your ideal client. Why? Quite simply, it will breed loyalty. It will breed quality. It will breed value. And most of all, it will breed respect from the peers in your industry or in your niche, because they'll want to know how you're doing it. Until next time, take care of yourself. Have a great week. And if you want to get in touch, drop by the website, which is www.markford.uk. Until next time, take care. Bye-bye.
This podcast is sponsored by JB Commercial Finance, the trusted funding solutions for business. JB Commercial Finance are experienced whole-of-market commercial finance brokers and will help you and your business raise money no matter your circumstances. Whether you're investing in your business, have cash flow challenges, or you're looking to acquire commercial premises, get in touch with us now for independent, expert, and honest advice. For a free, no-obligation assessment, find us at www.jbcommercialfinance.co.uk or call 0116-3440-322. JB Commercial Finance is fully authorized and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority and are proud members of the National Association of Commercial Finance Brokers.